Kallak rounded a rocky stone ridge and stumbled to a stop before the body of a dying thunderclast. The enormous stone beast lay on its side, rib-like protrusions from its chest broken and cracked. The monstrosity was vaguely skeletal in shape, with unnaturally long limbs that sprouted from granite shoulders. The eyes were deep red spots on the arrowhead face, as if created by a fire burning deep within the stone. They faded. Even after all these centuries, seeing a thunderclast up close made Kallak shiver. The beast's hand was as long as a man was tall. He'd been killed by hands like those before, and it hadn't been pleasant. Of course, dying rarely was. He rounded the creature, picking his way more carefully across the battlefield. The plain was a place of misshapen rock and stone, natural pillars rising around him, bodies littering the ground. Few plants lived here. The stone ridges and mounds bore numerous scars. Some were shattered, blasted out sections where surge binders had fought. Less frequently, he passed cracked, oddly shaped hollows where thunderclasts had ripped themselves free of the stone to join the fray. Many of the bodies around him were human, many were not. Blood mixed, red, orange, violet. The sounds around him did not seem like the sounds of victory. Smoke curled from the occasional patches of growth or heaps of burning corpses. Even some sections of rock smoldered. The Dustbringers had done their work well.
But I survived.
Kallak held hand to breast as he hastened to the meeting place.
I actually survived this time.
That was dangerous. When he died, he was sent back, no choice. When he survived the desolation, he was supposed to go back as well. Back to that place that he dreaded. Back to that place of pain and fire. What if he just decided not to go?
Perilous thoughts.
Perhaps traitorous thoughts. He hastened on his way. The place of meeting was in the shadow of a large rock formation, a spire rising into the sky. As always, the 10 of them had decided upon it before the battle. The survivors would make their way here. Oddly, only one of the others was waiting for him. Jezrian. Had the other 8 all died? It was possible. The battle had been so furious this time, one of the worst. The enemy was growing increasingly tenacious. But no. Kallak frowned as he stepped up to the base of the spire. 7 magnificent swords stood proudly there, driven point first into the stone ground. Each was a masterly work of art, flowing in design, inscribed with glyphs and patterns. He recognized each one. If their masters had died, the blades would have vanished. These blades were weapons of power beyond even shard blades. These were unique, precious. Jezrian stood outside the ring of swords, looking eastward.
Jezrian?
The figure in white and blue glanced toward him. Even after all these centuries, Jezrian looked young, like a man barely into his 30th year. His short black beard was neatly trimmed, though his once fine clothing was scorched and stained with blood. He folded his arms behind his back as he turned to Kallak.
What is this, Jezrian? Where are the others?
Departed.
Though Jezrian hadn't worn a crown in centuries, his royal manner lingered. He always seemed to know what to do.
You might call it a miracle. Only one of us died this time.
Tolinal.
His was the only blade unaccounted for.
Yes. He died holding that passage by the northern waterway.
Kallak nodded. Taln had a tendency to choose seemingly hopeless fights and win them. He also had a tendency to die in the process. He would be back now, in the place where they went between desolations. The place of nightmares. Kallak found himself shaking. When had he become so weak?
Jezrian, I cannot return this time.
Kallak stepped up and gripped the other man's arm.
I can't.
Kallak felt something within him break at the admission. How long had it been? Centuries, perhaps millennia, of torture. It was so hard to keep track. Those fires, those hooks, digging into his flesh anew each day, searing the skin off his arm, then burning the fat, then driving to the bone. He could smell it.
Almighty, I can smell it.
Leave your sword.
What?
Jezrian nodded to the ring of weapons.
I was chosen to wait for you. We weren't certain if you had survived. A decision has been made. It is time for the Oath Pact to end.
Kallak felt a sharp stab of horror.
What will that do?
Ishar believes that so long as there is one of us still bound to the Oath Pact, it might be enough. There is a chance we might end the cycle of desolations.
Kallak looked into the Immortal King's eyes. Black smoke rose from a small patch to their left. There, in Jezreel's eyes, Kallak saw anguish and grief, perhaps even cowardice. This was a man hanging from a cliff by a thread.
Almighty above, you're broken too, aren't you?
They all were. Kallak turned and walked to the side, where a low ridge overlooked part of the battlefield. There were so many corpses, and among them walked the living. Men in primitive wraps, carrying spears topped by bronze heads. Juxtaposed between them were others in gleaming plate armor. One group walked past, four men in their ragged tanned skins or shoddy leather, joining a powerful figure in beautiful silver plate, amazingly intricate. Such a contrast. Jezreel stepped up beside him.
They see us as divinities. They rely upon us, Jezreel. We're all that they have.
They have the Radiance. That will be enough.
He will not remain bound by this. The enemy, he will find a way around it. You know he will.
Perhaps.
The King of Heralds offered no further explanation.
And Taln?
The flesh burning, the fires, the pain, over and over and over.
Better that one man should suffer than 10.
Jezreel seemed so cold, like a shadow caused by heat and light falling on someone honorable and true, casting this black imitation behind. Jezreel walked back to the Ring of Swords, his own blade formed in his hands, appearing from mist, wet with condensation.
It has been decided, Kallak. We will go our ways and we will not seek out one another. Our blades must be left. The Oath Pact ends now.
He lifted his sword and rammed it into the stone with the other 7. Jezreel hesitated, looking at the sword, then bowed his head and turned away, as if ashamed.
We chose this burden willingly. We can choose to drop it if we wish.
What do we tell the people, Jezreel? What will they say of this day?
It's simple. We tell them that they finally won. It's an easy enough lie. Who knows? Maybe it will turn out to be true.
Kallak watched Jezreel depart across the burned landscape. Finally, he summoned his own blade and slammed it into the stone beside the other 8. He turned and walked in the direction opposite from Jezreel. And yet, he could not help glancing back at the Ring of Swords and the single open spot. The place where the 10th sword should have gone. One of them who was lost. The one they had abandoned.
Forgive us.